Moya O'Connell, you have one of the great roles in theater as Tracy Lord. Is it really that good a role?
Tracy Lord is a fantastic role. It's made iconic by the film starring Katharine Hepburn, but the play, she did the play first on Broadway. He wrote the play for her, and then they adapted it for the film. And it's a terrific piece by Philip Barry about class, about America, and really about love. At the center is Tracy Lord, a wealthy, rich socialite, on the eve of her wedding, her second wedding, and complications ensue. It's a heck of a lot of fun to play, that's for sure.
This is a situation of basically of spoiled rich people.
It is, absolutely. And I think there's something both off-putting but also seductive about you start the play on the eve of this incredibly wealthy woman, filthy rich is Tracy Lord, in her mansion with all of her presence around. And there, I think there should be something where people feel somewhat unsettled by that, that the wealth is so extreme. And of course, Barry wrote it during the Depression. So most of society in America were experiencing a completely opposite reality. And into the play come two reporters, Macaulay Connor and Elizabeth Embry, one a photographer and one a writer, a novelist and a painter, but who happened to be slumming it working for paparazzi magazines and covering my wedding. So in them we have a different point of view which really pierces through the sort of ostentatiousness and the wealth of the lords. And you get a nice balance, I think, in Barry's writing, with all of the comedic writing and beautiful wittiness, but there's also some real hard truths about what it means to be wealthy and what it costs to be wealthy in America.
Well, that was the big thing in the 30s, these incredible movies about rich people when there are bread lines outside the theater.
Hasn't that always been the case when times are really tough? There's a sort of escapism in going into a world, an unreal world of incredible wealth and, so people can kind of lose themselves. And it's nicely balanced in that you get a chance to be a part of this world of wealth, but at the same time, you get to take them down a few pegs. You get to see them, make them human.
This was also the basis of one of the great musical movies.
Yes, High Society with Grace Kelly. And the Shaw Festival did that a few years ago. I remember seeing that. And that's really fun as well. Yeah.
Do you come from money, or are you just the average working person looking at this differently?
Yeah, I don't come from money at all. My parents, we lived off the land. My parents were organic farmers, and it's a completely different world for me. Not to say that I don't have access to that world. I have family and friends that I have access to that world, and so there's a certain, you get little windows in to it, but no, it's not a place where I come from at all.
And walking to and from work, you probably go by some of the pretty fancy houses here in Niagara-on-the-Lake.
Yeah, I do. Well, it's a funny thing with artists. And there's a great line in the play when Tracy Lord offers one of her houses to this writer, because he makes it clear that although he's a great writer, he can't afford to live without having to do these paparazzi jobs. So she freely offers him this house, and he turns it down, and he says, artists, with sort of the idea of artists having a patron, has sort of gone out. And I think it's one of those things. Here we live, all of these artists, these theater artists, we live in this town with great wealth alongside, and so we do have windows into that world that normally you might not have.
You're doing two shows. How complicated is it with rehearsals and performances to just, which show am I in this afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, I think I take it day to day. It is very busy. It's trickier for me this year because I have two big leading roles on the main stage, and I have a 5-year-old daughter. So balancing work and life, no matter what you do, is hard. So I just take it a day at a time. I think that that's the easiest way to do it. I look ahead only 24 hours in advance, and I say, okay, tomorrow I have that, get my head straight for that, that's what I have to do.
How physically hard is it?
Depends on the part. The part of Tracy Lord demands a lot of relaxation and vocal energy. You're playing to an 800-seat house, unmic'd, so you have to fill the space, so you have to take very good care of yourself. In The Philanderer, it's an incredibly physical show, lots of fights, and I'll be I'll be sweating by the end. And it's a good workout. And intellectually, doing Shaw and this and Barry as well, you know, your mind has to be always thinking of about 20 things at once going on. So I'm pretty tired by the end of the day, sure.
How do you explain it to a five-year-old?
You can't, so you just have to not be tired. You got to go home and wake up in the morning with a smile on your face and get ready to play and build fairy groves and play on the swings, and because that's what you sign up for, right? It's a great job, so you just have to find it within yourself too.
At the same time, it's probably good for you to have to leave the theater behind.
It is. It's great, actually, to just know that when you walk through the door of your house, that's it. It's life now. It's your home, your family, and you leave it behind. So, yeah, it's healthy, I think.
What role would you like to play?
You know, I don't answer that question anymore because I have played some of the roles that I've most wanted to play in my life, and I find... And I've been very lucky, and I've enjoyed that immensely. But I find that in theater, and I don't know if this is true for all art, but in theater, you have your bucket list. But it's always the ones that you don't expect are the ones that are most enjoyable. Because it's a collaborative art form, you never know how something's going to come together. You know how you might approach it or see it, but that might be completely different. So I try to keep myself open now. I mean, having said that, I'd love to play Second Mrs. Tanqueray, and I mean there's a few other things I'd like to play her. In The Winter's Tale, I'd love to do Hermione in The Winter's Tale. There's three or four that, but I've hit some of the ones that I wanted to play. I've missed some of the ones that I wanted to play because I'm too old now, and I feel like it's just about being surprised.
One of the things about the Shaw Festival, though, is that when Christopher Newton was here and now with Jackie, they're coming up with writers that nobody's ever heard of. I mean, St. John Hankin, for example, this year. But does that make a difference? You know, this is somebody you've never heard of, and then you go rush out to read the play, and you say, oh.
I think it's wonderful, because then you can surprise an audience. I mean, there's a great thing about doing something recognizable, something that somebody has seen, you know, three, four times, and it's a different interpretation, but there's also something totally invigorating about giving it to an audience for the first time, an unexpected piece. And I love that there's this dig for undone, you know, unproduced works. I think, that Charity That Begins at Home this year, I mean, I think it's fantastic.
So is there a writer you might like to see done around here?
I'd love for them to do more American writers. They've started doing Tennessee Williams, and they've done an O'Neill. I'd love to see them do more, and maybe some Arthur Miller and more Williams and some of the great American writers.
Jackie's done Canadian writers.
Yeah, which is great. And I think I'm totally into the idea of, you know, taking Shaw as a starting point, and then busting out through there. So people who are inspired by who are Shavian in their writing, but expanding that. And I love the new Canadian works here, being adaptations by Canadian writers. We did last year, we did Peace in Our Time, which is an adaptation of Shaw's Geneva. It was adapted by John Morrell, and that was so much fun.
Shaw had a reputation in his time of writing good roles for women. Obviously, Shakespeare does not exactly have that reputation at the other theater company in the neighborhood. But how important is that for a female actor around here?
It's fantastic. I worked at a Shakespeare company for 6 years in Vancouver before I came out here, and that was wonderful. But as you say, there's only a few roles in a Shakespearean play for a woman. And Shaw, he's a feminist, and he's writing these incredibly complicated, interesting, meaty roles for women. So, and women who, both ingenues and women who are, middle-aged and elderly. I mean, he runs the gamut. He's a great woman's writer. So, as an actress, this is the place you want to be. Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Is there a Shaw role that you've played you'd like to do again? Or a Shaw play that you'd like to do again in a different role?
This year is going to be my third Shaw play. So I haven't done a lot of Shaw, actually, I'd love to do more Shaw. Is there a Shaw part? I mean, I always think after I finish a role, I think, oh, I'd really like to play that again. Now I know how I'd like to play it. That's what I missed, or, you know, because I think you're constantly in process as an actor. Is there a dream Shaw role? Not necessarily. I'm actually playing my dream Shaw role right now in Julia and the Philanderer, which I just think is, she's just a fantastic character. She's high drama, but deep feeling and surprising on so many different levels.
Not Major Barbara or something like that?
Major Barbara is, yeah, that's a great role too. It's hard because it's fresh in my memory. And one of my best friends played it last year here. And so that's sort of an indelible, you know, in my imagination, that's there now. So it'll take a few years for me to not see that right up in my brain. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about what I'd like to play necessarily.
Jackie asked you?
Well, maybe then I'd sit down and have a think. I don't know. Yeah.
Shaw Festival doesn't necessarily do the same play very often. The Arms of the Man this year is, I think, the fifth time in 30 years. So the recollection drifts away a little bit. Is that good?
Yeah, I think it is. I think people have an impression of the play. They remember certain characters, and that's the great thing about seeing something again. You never know who's going to pop up this time, and you say, God, I didn't remember that storyline, or that person's made it clearer, or, you know, this. And his ideas are really at the forefront. So it's one of those, they are so filled with ideas that I think that you could see the same Shaw play done, you know, all over the world. Or you could come back and see it, you know, five or six times, and each time come away with a different feeling of an idea that Shaw was trying to strike at or get across, because it's just alive with that, you know. And we as actors, the sort of mental trapeze or you know, athleticism that it takes to stay on top of that, to do justice to his ideas, is invigorating. In the same way that Shakespeare is invigorating, and that the language fills your body and your, you know, your physical and your mental, Shaw just keeps you really alive on stage.
Sounds like you want to direct.
I would like to direct, actually, one day, but not yet. Not yet. Still got a lot to learn, I think.
But wouldn't that always be true? Did you always have something to learn?
Definitely. Definitely. I'll always be hungry for more knowledge. And yeah, that is true. It's just not quite right yet. I feel it coming. I feel it. I can see it in the distance. It's just not quite there yet.
Thank you, Moya O'Connell.
Thanks so much.